So praise the Lord. So we're, I don't know if Jacob's doing the scriptures behind me or not, but there's a lot to get through Jacob, but we'll, between me, you, and the Holy Ghost, we'll do just fine. Amen. So John chapter 1, turn with me to John, the first chapter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm really blessed by this, you know, because it's just something that's in my heart for me personally as an individual to live life more by the Spirit. Just to live my life, to have a thinking life that is just of the Spirit of God. For those who know me, especially my wife, she'll know that I'm not there yet. But you know what? God says in His Word that He has begun a good work. So I'm not listening to the voices that say, well, I know all your weaknesses, I know all your shortcomings, because I know where that comes from, and it doesn't come from Jesus. Jesus always edifies you. Jesus always encourages you. Jesus always builds you up. Jesus always strengthens. If it's good, it's from God. If it's bad, it's from the devil. It's so simple. But in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says this. But as many as received Him, to them. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, if you have, this is to you. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What did He give you? Power. He gave you power. He gave you power. He gave you power to overcome anything and everything that's coming against you. He gave you a way out. And you know, many of you will come to me and complain. I don't mind that. Many of you will come to me and gripe. I have no problems with that. Many of you will come to me in tears, and I have no issues with that. But you know, you come to me in the flesh. Not in the Spirit. If we walked in the Spirit, you'd never come to me and I would never come to you. It's radical. And I might be offending people right now. You're sitting there thinking and you're judging what I'm saying already. But it's true. If we will walk in the Spirit, as Jesus walked in the Spirit, the only one He ever went to was Father God. But sometimes we like to go to people just to get our ears tickled and hopefully that somebody will join our pity party. Well, you know, I realized, church, many, many years ago, the only people that came to my pity parties was me and my demons. So whoever came, well, I stopped having pity parties. Hallelujah. You know, we can go right into the throne room of God. Thanks be to Jesus Christ. You've been given so much in Jesus Christ. You've been given so much. Luke 17:21 records that the kingdom of heaven is within you. Let's ponder that one. Let's just stay there right now. The kingdom of heaven, Dorothy, is within you. John, it's not just in Ancrum, it's not just in the borders. It's right here, right now, within you. That's powerful. And if we have a revelation of that and a realization of that, man, what's that thing that's coming against you? It's nothing in comparison to what's inside you. But too many of us are living in the flesh. And I include myself. I'm not nagging you. I'm not pointing the finger at you. I've been hearing this word for the last month. I'm having to digest this. I'm having to work through this. I don't want to be this man of the flesh. I want to be a man of the Spirit of God Himself. So Luke 17:21 records the kingdom of heaven is within you. 1 Corinthians 2:16 teaches us that we have the mind of Christ. Let me tell you, you don't have that in the flesh. It's only in the Spirit man that you have the mind of Christ. It's only in the Spirit man that you have access to the mind of Christ. And 1 John 4:17 reminds us that as Jesus was in this world, so are we. It's true. You can argue with me all you want. But I'm pointing you to three scriptures. Luke 17:21, 1 John 4:17, and 1 Corinthians 2:16 that tells you different to what you're thinking. So argue with me, Paul said. Paul said himself, these are not my words you argue with, but the word of God. We need to be that Spirit-led people. I'm just getting a reminder coming up on my iPad here that I've got a dentist appointment tomorrow, but don't need that today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, in relation to this, the kingdom of heaven within you, that you have the mind of Christ, and that as Christ was in this world, so are you. Me and you have got no legitimate reason for failing to be an awesome success in life. Good. It's hitting home. You have no legitimate reason. Other words, you have no excuse, Larry. You have no excuse, Bill. I don't miss you either when you're sitting there. Hallelujah. I won't go to Susan, though. I've got to go home with Susan, Bill. Hallelujah. But we have no legitimate reason for failing to be a success, an awesome success in life, because you have so much going for you. And I'll tell you what, predominantly what the confession is, what the admission is there's so much coming against me. That's what you hear from most people. It's what's coming against me. It's not what's for me. For those who have been in this church a long, long time, if you remember the time of the acetates, and we used to have the acetate sheets, and boy, that was a ministry all on its own to get the words over that thing. I'll tell you, I could never do it. But we had a wee girl called Catherine used to do it in here, and she was excellent at it. The acetate sheet would sit here with a bit of wood holding it at the top and a bit of wood holding it at the bottom, a ruler. And she would somehow guide her way through these songs. Man, nowadays these guys have got it easy compared to those acetate sheets. But hallelujah, I remember getting an acetate sheet one time and putting it up on there and put a tiny, tiny wee black dot on that big white screen. I asked the whole church, what did you see? 99.999% of the church went, the black dot. They didn't see the whole white area all round about the black dot. They just saw the black dot. And that's the same for many people in life. We just see what's coming against us. We fail to see who's for us. Yeah. Amen. It is an amen, Susan. It really is. We need to wake up. This sounds harsh. I'm your pastor and I love you, but it sounds harsh. I don't care how you're feeling. I do really, but I don't care how you're feeling. Because it's in the flesh that you're feeling these ways. You have a spirit man that's soaring like a bird. You have a spirit man that's soaring with the wings of the eagle to take you to new heights. You have a spirit man inside you that's given you the feet of the deer to climb to new pastures. If we will live in the spirit. But too many times we live life after the flesh. I live life after the flesh. I don't want to be that man. I'm fed up being that man. A man died so I could be a new man. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You've got so much going for you than you could possibly think or imagine. And I want to encourage you just with a few things, just a few things that you've been given in Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 12. I've just read it, but let me read it again. It was our opening verse. But as many received him, to them he gave power to become what? The sons of God. Not just John Donnelly, Mark 2. He's given me the right to become a son of God, even to them that believe in his name. That verse is revealing that you received divine power the day you became a child of God. The very moment you gave your life to Christ, you received divine power. What are you doing with it? Most of us are doing nothing. We're sitting on it. And boy, we need to wake up and realize, wait a minute, this word declares I'm a powerhouse. And the he that's coming against me is nothing compared to him that's inside of me, 1 John 4, verse 4. We need to rise up in these truths. You are more than a conqueror. They're not just words that come from your lips. They're the truth. You're more than a conqueror. With his help, you can advance against the troop. And with his help, you can scale a wall. You're no longer the tail, but you're the head. Through Christ, you can do all things. Man, the list goes on and on and on and on. I could give you a promise for 365 days a year, 366 in the leap year. God's promise, I'll never be exhausted by time. Oh, that's good. I like that. God's promise, I'll never be exhausted by time. Ah, I've never heard that before. I love it when your ears come round here to hear what you're saying. See, it ministers to me too, church. I want to be this person. I'm not, but I'm getting there. He has begun a good work in me and you. Hallelujah. So you've been given power to become the sons of God. So what does it mean to be the son of God? A son, not the son. What does it mean to become the sons of God? Well, look at Jesus. He's your example in life. He should always be your example in life. The word power, and we're doing a wee bit of Greek today. The Greek word is exousia. So forgive my pronunciation, you Greek scholars. The Greek word for power is exousia. And it describes, listen, it describes delegated authority or influence. Somebody has delegated you authority. Somebody has delegated you influence. That was Jesus. He delegated that to you. You've got delegated authority. You've got delegated power inside you. Hallelujah. Delegated authority or influence. The day that you chose him to be your Lord and to be your Savior was the very day that he delegated to you the power and authority to become a child of God. Wow. That's a wow right there. We should be going around this room, wow, wow, wow. We should be getting blown away by this. But we just sit there. Oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. Well, until you see it's something more than nice, life's never going to change for you. Nice won't change you. But taking a hold of the truth will. Taking a hold of God's truth will just come alive on the inside of you. Just think about it. You know, it was around about 9:30 p.m., 12th of August, 1988, that I gave my life to Christ. And at that very specific moment, John left the kingdom of darkness and entered into the glorious kingdom of light. And my life has never been the same again. For 30 years almost now, I've been just walking with Jesus. Loving him and letting him love me and letting him convince me of his truths. Because we need to be convinced of the truth. If you're not convinced, you'll waver. If you're not convinced, you'll jump from one opinion to the other. But you need to be convinced. And you won't listen, you won't become convinced by the words of a preacher or a teacher or a man of God. The Holy Spirit himself will convince you of the truth. I find it incredible that people who come to me for help, ask me for help, the first thing they want to do is turn it into a doctrinal argument. Hello? Wake up! Wake up to that! You've come for help, so just receive the help. Just submit, just yield, just humble yourself. Put your hands up and say, I'm to blame, but I know one who can redeem me. Quit trying to blame somebody else. Quit trying to blame everybody else. It's time to start looking inside. And just humbling ourselves and asking. That's why Jesus said to the guy, do you want to be made well? Well, of course the Jew, do Jesus. Hello, who doesn't want to be made well? Well, there has to be a point there behind Jesus' question. Jesus is not stupid. Jesus knows the heart of a man. Do you really want to be made well?
Amen.
Because I'll tell you what, I know in life and I know in ministry, not everybody wants to be made well. All they want to do is, oh, come on, life will get better. They want to exhaust me. They want to exhaust us. They want to waste our time. They want to talk, talk, talk. And I'll tell you what, I'm coming to a place in my life where I won't even pray for certain people. Wow. The pastor refuses to pray for his people. Well, on a one-to-one basis, I will, but believe me, I will never stop praying for you. But on a one-to-one, I'm not wasting my time because you don't want to change anyway. You've already determined in your heart that you're going to argue with me with anything and everything I say. You're going to argue with me, and that's a waste of my time, and a waste of your time, and a waste of God's time. There are people who do want to be made well. There are people who do want to be restored, and I'm asking God, help me to find these people. So don't be offended when I say, no, I'm not praying for you. I'll meet with you, I'll talk with you, but I ain't praying for you. Because you're not willing, Jan, to listen to what I've got to say. Man, that's tough words this morning. It's not always like this, you dear saints from the borders. Oh, hallelujah. You can come every Sunday.
It's nice to be refreshed.
Praise the Lord. But this is why I'm almost beseeching you this morning, because we need to get out of living after the flesh. We need to church. I need to church. Susan will tell you, I need to church. She knows me. Apart from Jesus, she knows me better than anybody. She's known me for 40 years of marriage and two and a half years of courtship. So she knows me. Yeah, oh, John. You're right. What's there to hide? No hiding place. It's a new me, Susan. And Susan was the first to say hallelujah for that. Hallelujah. So listen, rather than complain that you're weak and that you're nothing special, It's time to start laying claim to what is stored up inside of you. The same explosive, dynamic authority and power that resided within Jesus has now been delegated to reside in you. Oh, wow. Wow. Romans 8, verse 11 puts it like this. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. How? Through his spirit who dwells in you. Wow. Wow. That's incredible. And if that wasn't enough, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all know 2 Corinthians 5:17. I remember that when I first got saved, 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, I can quote it verbatim. Yeah, but do we live it? We can all quote scripture. It's easy to quote scripture. Andy can stand here and quote scripture. Andy can stand up here and sing a song. Anybody. Anybody. I don't care if you've got the voice of a crow or the voice of a lark. You can sing to God. Andy can do that. But you know, it's harder to live what we sing. It's harder to live what we minister. It's harder to live what we declare. And you'll never live it after the flesh. Never. James, I was so blessed by you this morning. How did you get out of that difficulty? David, listen. How did you get out of that difficulty? Where did you sit? What did you do? Say no more. You'll never deal with it in the flesh. Did you get deliverance?
Yeah.
Did you know what you were praying about? These are one-syllable answers. Did you get deliverance?
Yes, I got
deliverance. No, one syllable. Did you get deliverance?
Yes.
Did you know what you were praying?
No.
But the Spirit of God knew. I love the Holy Ghost because he bypasses my mind. And John has not got a clue what he's praying about. John has no idea what he's crying out to God. He's desperate. He's in trouble. He's in times of difficulty. Oh, he's just praying tongues. I can switch from tongues to English at the drop of a hat. But the wonderful thing about tongues is when I pray in tongues, John has no idea. But boy, my spirit man's rejoicing. My spirit man's experiencing liberty and life. And you know what happens? That then seeps through to the flesh. And I just start to walk in the fullness of all of these things. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I love that old word, behold. That verse is saying that you're a brand new creature if you are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ, Bill?
Amen.
You're a brand new creature.
Amen.
Brand spanking new, Bill. That word, here we are again for a Greek lesson. The word new in the Greek is the word called kainos. And kainos describes something that is brand new or recently made. It also carries the idea of something that is, listen, superior. Superior. You're carrying something, someone that's superior. You have become because you're carrying superior to anything and everything that comes against you. Oh, hallelujah. So that means that when Jesus came into your life, you were made brand new. Listen, the new you is superior to the old you.
Amen.
The new you is superior to the old you. Stephen Jackson, the new you is superior to the old you. You quit looking at the old you.
Amen.
Now, I'm pointing the finger at Stephen, but I'm pointing at us all. Quit looking at the old you, Craig, Nicola. Quit looking at the old you, John. Quit looking at the old Nate, the old you, Emma, Candu. Quit looking at the old you. There's nothing to compare in comparison to the new. Man, when I compare my old life, I love what Paul said. It's just dung. Dung. Your old life was dung, John Rowlands. Why would John want to look like a pile of dung? He's not a dung beetle. You know what dung beetles do? They just go around rolling dung. And you know what? I can hear their wee song. And Christians are like it. My dung's bigger than your dung. My dung's bigger than yours. My dung's bigger than your dung. My dung's bigger than yours. Why do we compare our dung? It's just dung. I don't care if you were the filthiest sinner on planet Earth. You're still a filthy sinner. Your degree of sin didn't matter. You sinned, period. We're all sinners, but we're all saved by the glory and by the grace and by the mercy of God. Quit comparing our old lives to one another. Man, as Christians, I used to go to Christian meetings as a young Christian, Christian men's meetings here in Glenaris, and all they would do, and I didn't know any better myself at the time, they would just compare how bad they used to be, and they would try and out-bad one another. Out-bad's not a word, that's bad English, I know, but they try to outdo one another with their badness. Oh, I used to go out and womanize, and 10 women a night and 20 beer a night. Oh, I used to drink 30 pints and 20 women. We would outdo our dung. Man, Christians, wake up. Your life before Christ was stinking. Why do you want to live like that any longer when you've been redeemed from the miry pit? He set your feet upon a rock called Jesus Christ. If my conversation now, I want to talk about him. I want to boast in him. I want to glory in him. I've had men who long to take me away on boaty trips in this place. And I refuse to go with them. I says, man, all you ever do is sit around by the campfire and beat up one another. Who wants to go there? Yeah, but the real man comes out. I mean, no, you don't. You just fight and you argue. Praise God that David Lamb used to go, and he was the peacemaker in that place. He could tell you some of these stories. All I ever do was fight and argue. I said, just if you want to go, book me into a 5-star hotel and let's have bed and breakfast. Never mind this roughing it out and camping it out. I bet it brings out the man in you. I said, no, it doesn't. It brings out the flesh in you. Who wants to feed the flesh around the campfire? It stinks. Burn it. Throw it on the fire. Hallelujah. You don't want to know me after the flesh. I've got a flesh and you don't want to know it. Say amen. You don't want to see my flesh. It's not nice. It's not pleasant. It stinks. It really does. Now, man, I don't want to live like that old man. I spent 31 years living as that old man. And praise God, I've now spent the last 29 living as this new man. I know what I prefer. Amen indeed, Larry. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The new you is superior to the old you. Do you get that, Stephen? The new you is far better than the old you. The devil's the first to tell you how you used to be, how you used to live. He's the one who recounts and recalls these things, not Jesus. From as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your wrongdoings. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not God reminding you, Stephen. If we truly believe that we were superior to the old, if we truly believe that, we would not want to live our lives any other way than by the Spirit of God. You are so new. The scripture says that you're a new creature. And that word creature is the Greek word ketaisis. Ketaisis. And that's the same word that was used to describe the creation of the world. When God created the universe, he used no existing materials or any old elements to make it. Everything in creation was newly made. Wow, that's this word ketaisis. And that's the same word ketaisis that is used to describe you, the very moment that you got saved. The very split second you got saved, a ketaisis work came into being. God didn't use any old parts of you to make the new you. He didn't take anything from the old Bill to make the new Bill. He made you a brand new creature. Brand new. Ah, well, I had these qualities in my life that God is now using. I question that. When you take that right back into the Greek, I'm brand new. I'm brand new. There's nothing in me now that was in my old way of life. I'm not giving any of my old way of life any glory or any honor or any plaudits for how I am now and how I have been fearfully and wonderfully made through Jesus Christ. He gets all the glory. I'm boasting in him this morning because of the man that I am becoming. Becoming, not have become. I know there's a spirit man that has become, but the rest of me is becoming after Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Everything about you is new. You're not an amended, corrected version of what you used to be. You're an absolute brand new creation. Wow. You're completely detached. Completely detached. The cross detached you. You're completely detached from the person that you once were. Oh, that would sink in. Then you can't blame your great, 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 great auntie Mary for how you are today. There are ministries that do that. And I have no problem with ministries like that, and I won't name them, but there are ministries that do that, and I have no issues, and sometimes that's the case. But you know what? If you get a revelation of who you are as this new man in Jesus Christ, you can automatically know deliverance. I'm not going raking back any longer in my past hunting for demons. I've been there and I've done that. No way. I'm letting the truth separate me from my past. And I might know deliverance on an ongoing basis. You know, I've seen in the past, I've been down to other ministries outside of this town, and we have received good, solid teaching, and we have received deliverance ourselves. But you know what? I've discovered all 30 years later, the closer I'm walking with Jesus, there's no room for anything else. I remember sharing that many, many years ago with somebody even in this church, and said, well, that's suppression. They said, that's suppression. You need to get that set free. And I carried that kind of teaching for a long, long time. I'm thinking, no, if I walk close to Jesus, no demonic activity can go on here. He sets me free as I walk with him.
Amen.
I wasn't bold enough. I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't knowledgeable enough of the scriptures in those days to say any different. Now I am. Now I am. And I know that the truth has set me free. I can very quickly discern when it's God and when it's not God. But I think there's too much emphasis goes on to dig way deep down into your guts and down into your bellies to set you free from something that was troubling you even before, long before you were born. That's not to discredit other ministries. I still uphold these ministries. As a church, we supported these ministries. But I'm just saying, if we'll get close to Jesus and get a revelation of who we are as a spirit man, and live as the spirit man and not after the flesh, you'll be wonderfully delivered and set free as you walk with him.
Hallelujah.
That's all I'm saying on that, because I just feel there's too much goes on. Too many people are too busy talking to demons rather than talking to Jesus. Casting this out, casting that out. Yeah, it's in the name of Jesus, but you know what? I would rather spend an hour talking to Jesus than I would talking to a demon. So, I don't know how I'm getting there, but anyway, I just feel that if we walk close with him and walk united with him, live as this new man, which we're going to learn more and more about over the next couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, man, I'll tell you, demons can't reside there. They'll just give up and go and look somewhere else. You weren't even aware of it. It just fell off of you. You just moved into the new things that God has got for you. So everything about you is new. You are not amended. You're completely detached from the person that you once were. Psalm 103, verse 12 tells us how far your old ways have been removed from you. This is the verse we quoted earlier. From as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. When Jesus came into your life, he created you to be free from the past, free from the negative effects of your family, and totally free from all your former hang-ups. In short, a brand new creature. A brand new creature. 2,000 years ago, you were made a brand new creature. 2,000 years ago. You know what happens sometimes? It's we get revelation today. We get revelation 2,000 years later, and you walk into something that's already been provided. He's not delivering you today. He delivered you 2,000 years ago. This is radical. He's not healing you today. He healed you 2,000 years ago. He's not saving you today. He saved you 2,000 years ago. I say that I got saved on the 12th of August, 1988, 9:30 p.m. on a Friday evening. I did. But that provision for that salvation was made 2,000 years ago. What happened on the 12th of August, 1988, 9:30 was John walked into it. And that's the same with healing. That's the same with deliverance. You get revelation on that moment.
Yes.
Yeah, it was done, made available to you 2,000 years ago. But right now you got revelation and you walked into it. So you can't put the time and date on today as when you got revelation. But no, actually when that instance happened, it happened 2,000 years ago at the cross. And that's the new creature. That's the new person we need to be living as and thinking as. In this room there's a lot, as Andrew would say, there's a lot of stinking thinking. Even in my own mind, there's a lot of stinking thinking. And that's what I want to eradicate. That's what I want to get rid of. Somebody touched on it this morning. James touched on it this morning. That we take every negative thought captive and bring it into submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I think that's 1 Corinthians 10. I think. Don't know. Something like that. Or 2 Corinthians 10. It's in the Bible. Hallelujah. It is written. So when Jesus came into your life, he made you a brand new creature. So stop laying claim. Listen to me. Stop laying claim to your family's genetic problems. Let that sink in, church. Stop laying claim to your family's genetic problems. I had a perfect example of that last week. I was standing to a wee friend, a wee guy at the gym, wee Rab. I've known Rab for many years. Him and I were talking. He says, John, what age are you? I says, I'm 60. Really? I says, yeah. He says, you don't look it. I went, keep talking, Rab. I says, what about you? He says, I'm 52. And I'm not boasting. Well, I am in Jesus. But you know, when I looked at Rab and I looked at me, and he probably sees the same when he looks at me. Oh, to have that gift as others see us. What is it that Burns once said? To see ourselves as others see us. But when I looked at Rab, I saw a wee old man. Now, I'm not saying that when he looked at me, he didn't see an old man. I'm not saying that. But when I looked at him, I'm thinking, did I really look that old? Did I look as bad as what Rab looks like? And I've asked Rab, he would probably say, yeah, you do. But here's the thing. I says, Rab, I haven't seen you about the place for a month or so. No, he says, John, my knees have been bothering me. He says, I've got family history with arthritis. He says, so that's it. Oh, man. Now, Rab doesn't know any better. He's not a Christian. He's not a believer. But you know, there are Christians hold on to the same kind of doctrine and mentality. Well, my mommy had it. My daddy had it. I went for an eye test on Friday. And the guy said to me, any problems with, glaucoma. Any problems with glaucoma? Nope. Any history of diabetes in the family? Nope. I know my dad was a diabetic. My dad was one of 12. I know he was a diabetic. And I know most of that 12 were diabetics. But you see, my history doesn't come through my father. My history comes from the cross. So that's why when these guys, I'm not lying. I'm not being foolish. I'm not being stupid. The old John might have caught that stuff. Can't touch this new guy. Can't touch this new man. Just because my dad had it doesn't mean to say I'm going to get it. And that was my heart towards Rab. And I just put my hand on him and I just quietly in my own heart I'm thinking, praying for you. I knew it wasn't the time. It was 2 minutes before his gym work started. I knew it wasn't the time to stand there in front of everybody. But there's a time coming where I'll speak to him quietly, side to side, on the one-to-one, and I'll just share with him. There's hope. Just because Auntie Mary, Dad Billy, Mammy Susan had all these things, does not have to carry through for you. And there are Christians that carry that through. There are Christians that carry that through. And I praise God for ministries like LL Ministries, because they have been important and imperative for setting the captives free. But you know how you become more free is the renewing of this. The renewing of your mind by the washing of the word. When you start to get this identity as to who you are in Jesus Christ, nothing can stick to you. Ronald once said to me a number of years ago when Susan and I were going through a bit of a rough spell. Ronald said, John, just be so well oiled by the Holy Ghost that when the accuser comes and throws some mud on you, he said, it just slides off. So nowadays, thanks to this man, I'm just so well oiled with the Holy Ghost that when accusations come, they throw it and it just slides off. Doesn't stick. It's the new creation we've got to live as. Hallelujah. That old person, you know, stop laying claim on your family's genetic problems. Inheritable sickness, dysfunctional behavior, disorders, curses, or any other negative thing that was part of your life before Christ, that old person no longer exists. That old person no longer exists. He's dead, and you are brand new. Hallelujah. There's so much more that we've been given in Christ. Ephesians 2:10, and this is where we'll close, and we'll continue the following week. Ephesians 2:10 is a scripture that you're all familiar with. It says, for we are his workmanship. God doesn't make junk. He does not make junk. You are not junk. You're the pinnacle of his creation. You're beautiful in his sight. You're holy. You are spotless. You are blameless. You are without sin. You are perfect in his sight. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And the part of the verse that says that you and I are God's workmanship, that's the first part. That comes from the Greek word poiama. Poiama. The word poiama carries the idea of something that's artfully created. You were asking if I was going to be talking about the arts today. Didn't you? Was it not you? Wasn't you? Thought somebody did. But that word carries the idea of something that's artfully created. The Greek word for a poet is poietes. And that comes from the same word poiema. And it's in reference to the poet that the Greek word would denote one who has the extraordinary ability to write or create a literary masterpiece. Wow. Let that sink in. Who's got the ability, other than God, to create masterpieces such as you? You're his masterpiece. What, me with my bad feet? Me with my squinty nose? Me with my part of the body that I'm not happy with? Yeah, you. You. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Created in the innermost beings. God ordained all your days before one of them came to be. And he's never ordained for you a bad day. Hallelujah. God put forth his most powerful, his most creative effort to making you new. He gave everything to make you new. Surely it must be an offense to him to live as the old you. Or maybe we live as the old you because we haven't really truly seen the new you. If you caught a glimpse of how gorgeous, of how beautiful, how outstanding, how stunning you are in the spirit, you would not, never again want to go back to that life of dung. Quit comparing your dung with somebody else's. There's no such thing as good dung. No. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Once God was finished making you new, you became a masterpiece, skillfully and artfully created in Jesus Christ. There are people who love art, even in this church. You know what? Their work is so inferior to the masterpieces sitting right before me today. They can't get anywhere near God's standard. You need to see the beauty in one another. And you'll only ever see that by not... Just close your eyes when you look at people, then you'll start to see them better. You'll never see the potential in somebody else looking at them with these eyes. You're choosing him. Mm-hmm. We'll look at that more next time. It's funny... No, I won't go there. So once God was finished making you new, you became this masterpiece skillfully and artfully created in Jesus Christ. Listen, there is nothing cheap about you at all. Nothing cheap. The world can't put a price on you. It can't. You are priceless. There is no amount of pounds or dollars can buy you, can create you the way that you have been created. Nothing cheap about you. God's creative, artistic, intelligent genius went into your making. That's incredible. You need to go home and listen to this message all over again. And let it sink in, and let it sink in, and let it sink in. And you're going to start viewing yourself, and more importantly, others, differently. Hallelujah. Look how much you've been given in Christ. It's time to stop moaning about how dumb you are, how stupid you are, how ugly you are, how untalented you feel compared to others. You know what those feelings are? Lies. Amen. They're all lies. Yep. You know, some of them may have been true before you were born again. It may well have been true before you were born again. But now none of that is true, that you are in Jesus Christ. I'll close with my old teacher, old Miss Downey. She was a P7, my primary 7, so I'm 11 years old, I think. It's funny, you know, because you went through from primary 1 to primary 6 and all the teachers called you by your first name. You were called John. And then, well, if your name was John, you were called John. And then, so, but after the summer holidays, after the recess, you all go back to school after your 7 or 8 weeks. You go back. And from primary 1 to primary 6, we all wore and for the guys who are old enough will remember, we wore grey short trousers. That's what we wore. You remember them, John? Yeah. We wore grey short trousers. But in primary seven, you got to wear long grey or black trousers. You were growing up. Because Miss Downey, that was her rule, long grey trousers for the boys in primary seven. So you go to school dressed like a man. You're no longer this wee boy running about with shorts on and everybody can see your bruises. In the summertime, it was really bad because we used to have the poverty mark. Do you know what the poverty mark was, Bill? You remember the poverty mark that you used to get in your legs, Ronald? You're about my age. You remember the poverty mark, no? John, you remember the poverty mark? You know what I'm talking about when I say the poverty mark? Well, in the summer, times were hard. So Mum and Dad couldn't buy these trainers that all these young guys wear nowadays. So we wore welly boots. We wore welly boots in the Scottish summer. In the glorious hot days, we still wore welly. That's rubber boots, Chris and Lisa. You guys don't know what welly boots are, Americans. But we would wear welly boots in summer days, hot, scorching summer days. So the poverty mark was when you took your welly boot off, from there up, your legs were brown. From there down, your legs were white. So that was the poverty mark. We all knew who the poor people were because, look, he's got the poverty mark. So we knew what it was like back in those days. Why am I telling you this? Oh, yes, all of a sudden, we're growing up and we're leaving boyhood behind. And Miss Downey's preparing us for secondary school. Before going there, a year before going there. So you walked in with the grey, the black trousers, long trousers, feeling great. And you're greeted with the name, Donnelly, come in. Donnelly? How rude is that? But she was preparing us for secondary school because at secondary school you were taught, you were called by your surname. Nowadays they don't. It's all too mamby-pamby and let's spoil the children. And let's not go there. But in those days it was Donnelly, do this, Donnelly, do that, Donnelly, do the other. Too much PC as far as I'm concerned, but that's another story. Did me no harm to be called by my surname. But here's Miss Downey. This is what she used. This was her mantra. This was her mantra. And you know what? It kind of stuck because in those days, contrary to Ronald's counselling, I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. I couldn't get filled with the Holy Ghost at that time because I didn't know who he was. So in those days, things did stick. And she would say, Donnelly, you will never amount to much, boy.
Did you have the same T-shirt?
You will never amount to much. And you know what? For a long period of time, I thought, I'll never amount to much. I did. I had that mindset. I would then look at my father. What did he do? My dad was a hard-working man all his days. He was a coal man. Carried bags of coal all his days. As he got older, he worked in the yard and filled the bags of coal for other guys to carry. He was just a hard manual labourer. And I'm proud of my working class roots. I have no issues with that. But I would look at him and think, well, and a wee voice in my head's going, well, he didn't amount to much, so Miss Downey was right, I'm not going to amount to much. And there was this mindset that would go on. But you see, there are Miss Downeys in all of our lives who spoke things to us somewhere on our journey in life. But here's the thing, the Miss Downey in my life and the Miss Downeys in your life didn't reckon on a man called Jesus Christ coming into our lives. And since that moment, on the 12th of August, 1988, at 9:30 p.m., a new man was born. A new man was born. Susan even went to the extreme of saying that when he got born again, our marriage got born again. Something happened. Something revolutionary was going on in our lives, in our marriage, in this church, in your life. Next week, we're going to pick up on how to be, how to live in the Spirit. We're going to be looking at a few things over the next few weeks. How to live in the Spirit, how that's contrary to living in the flesh. How do you know when you're living in the Spirit? How do you know when you're living in the flesh? We're going to be looking at a whole lot of different things which hopefully will encourage us to be a people in this church who are living life by and after the Spirit of God. I pray this has helped some of you this morning. I pray that this is starting to just whet your appetite for more of this kind of lifestyle. That we're starting to waken up to the power that's within us, of who we are in Jesus Christ, of Christ dwelling in us. We are the pinnacle of His creation. We are all of these things and more. So, Father, we just praise You and thank You. We thank You, Lord God, that You have made us into something spectacular. And that is what You are right now, church. You are something spectacular. And You, church, You as an individual, You as a family, us collectively as God's house here in Dumfries, we need to lay a hold of our identity in Christ Jesus. Listen, we need to adjust our talking. We need to adjust our thinking to reflect on who we really are. Father, we just thank you and praise you. We thank you, Holy Ghost, that you are wakening us up to who we are more and more in Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for these precious saints. Thank you for these precious people. Bless the ones here. Bless the ones not here. Thank you for bringing our friends from the borders today to be with us, Father. Lord, that you bless them on their journey today, that you bless them and continue to guide them and look after them, Father, as you do ourselves. So, Lord, we just praise you and thank you. We want to be a people led, moving, and living by your Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.